Dude, it's like when the microphone is turned on, we become complete idiots.
Yes.
Hey guys, welcome back to Escape to the Magic Podcast. We are your hosts for this evening. My name is Ryan.
And I am Dak.
And we're back.
We're back. We missed a week.
We did.
So I want to apologize to our weekly listeners. If you're just catching us for the first time, you probably didn't notice that we missed a week. But
that was our first time we have ever... We have tried so hard to not miss a week.
Yeah.
And sure enough, the holidays came and it's like... Randy's off in Utah. You're in
California.
And I'm at home, family in town, just doing my thing.
Yeah, it's a rough week to try and get together, and so we just couldn't make it happen. But we are back.
We are back.
I am freshly back from a California / Disneyland / Universal trip.
And that's what we're talking about this week. We wanted to kind of pick your brain. We don't really do a lot of trip recaps on this show. For as often as the three of us go, we don't sit back and just, let's talk about our trip.
Yeah, I don't like doing the play-by-play of an entire trip, but I do like talking about when we go, what we enjoyed doing, what was fun, maybe some lessons learned even on some of these trips. And so, yeah, I'd love to jump into it and get going here, but I think we had
a
review.
We did get a review in. We want to give a shout out to, listen, sometimes these names on these reviews, you know, we do the best we can.
Yeah.
So, Sam Gels, whoever you are out there, we appreciate it. Title of his review was Disney's New WDW Today. Awesome. All right. You guys did an awesome job. It's one of the best podcasts I've ever heard. Short, but to the point.
Yeah. Love it, Sam. Sam, we appreciate you.
We appreciate it. Yeah. So whoever you are, we appreciate it. So, hey, share the podcast with your friends. This is a great time to, share your podcast with the friends. We appreciate it. Go on, give us a 5-star rating. Give us a review. We try to read them all on air. So on air, like we're on the air. We're not on the air. Like we're recording 8:30 at night. Just you and me, Dak.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
But it'll be live tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. This has got to be one of the worst openings we've ever done.
It's all right.
It's been a while.
We're going to power through it.
Yeah.
We're a little rusty, but we're going to power through it tonight and make this happen.
You would think after, what episode is this? 69, 68?
Something like
that. What are we at? Anyway, you think by now that we would have some sort of standard
rhythm.
A rhythm?
Yeah.
We don't.
No. But that's okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you want to get into it? So
episode number 70.
70. Here we go.
Big 70.
Big 70.
Wow. Okay. All right, man. So you just got back from Disneyland.
Yeah. So we decided to go out there. We left Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. So it's been a little bit, a hot minute since then. But went out on Friday. Friday, we just kind of hung out and didn't do a whole lot. Went to downtown Disney. Girls hung out by the pool. Of course, the weather was awesome, you know,
as
high of a 70,
Southern California.
High of a 70, low of a 58 or 60 or something like that. It was just absolutely perfect, just perfect. And so anyway, I'll kind of cut to the chase. Friday and Saturday were more of our hangout, just relaxed days. And then Sunday, we went to Universal Studios Hollywood, and we were kind of gearing up for... You know, super high crowds. It's the weekend after Thanksgiving. We just thought we were going to get bombed. Mm-hmm. And it was not bad at all. So first of all, we paid for what they have, what's called early entry. I think it was like 30 extra bucks a person. And it allowed you to get into the park half an hour before everybody else.
Okay.
And so we went straight to Mario World, which they have out there in California.
See, I don't know much about the Universal in California.
Yeah.
I've been, obviously, we've been annual pass holders at the one in Florida, and we've been kind of following, Epic Universe and, that project. But, yeah, California, I know nothing about.
Yeah, it's smaller. It's significantly smaller.
Is it just one park?
It's just one park.
Oh, okay.
And then what's strange about it is it's basically on a hillside. So there are levels, and you take like four escalators down.
Oh, wow.
To to a level, which is where Mario World was. We tried out the new Mario Kart. That was a lot of fun.
So explain what that is.
So Mario Kart is a...
Well, we know what Mario Kart is, but what's the attraction?
Yeah, the attraction itself is you are on a ride vehicle. They have these helmets that are really cool. You put a little, like it's like a visor on your head, and you can screw tight in the back so that it fits to your head. So it's not a one size, I guess it's a one size fits all, but it's adjustable, if that makes sense, right? So like if you've ever worn a hard hat, I don't know if you have, they have a little screw in there and it tightens the band so that it's snug against your head. And then what's really cool is once you get in the ride vehicle, they have these, they're not glasses, but it's like a magnetic little connection that magnetizes onto your visor, and there's a screen right in front of your eyes, and where you look, sorry, I turned as I was looking to show you what I was talking about, so you probably lost audio, but everywhere you look, there's digital images of characters, Mario, Peach.
So it's virtual reality?
Kind of, yeah. It's kind of like a virtual reality, but not the goggles that you would normally wear, like if you bought a home version of it.
So is it, you remember the augmented reality? Is that what it is?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know what that is, but okay. That sounds really cool.
Where like augmented is like you put the glasses on, like it was, I think it was Pokemon that a few years ago came out, right? Where you would look through your phone. You would hold your phone up and you would see characters.
So that's kind of what it was like.
In the live environment.
What was crazy is you're still seeing with your eyes all the ride and everything like that that you're going through.
So augmented reality.
So it's an augmented reality. Okay. And you're going around and you're collecting turtles, shells, and coins and everything that you do normally on Mario Kart. It was phenomenal. It was great technology. It was a fun ride. We had ages, my wife and I, down to an 11-year-old and everything in between, and all of us loved it. Wow. We rode it probably two or three times back to back to back. Like, again, we were there for early entry, so there was no one else in the... Well, there was other people there, but no actual, you know, regular park attendance people.
Okay. Did it make you sick?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all. Really cool version of... kind of an experience that you would get on Toy Story Mania, right? Where you're interacting with a game. You're pushing the buttons on the paddles and it's shooting the turtle shells and stuff like that. So it was really, really, really awesome. Any other questions on Mario World?
No.
Okay. I'll move on. So then you go back up to the upper levels, and that's where they have like City Walk. So you're probably familiar with that
with
Orlando.
Familiar with City Walk, yep.
They have a Harry Potter, you know, world with Hogwarts and the castle and all that there. Only two rides there, but still all the decor looked very, very similar, if not identical, to what you experience in Orlando.
Okay, so real fast, before we move on, the listeners need to know something about you, Dak.
I've never seen Harry Potter.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just going to admit that right now. Okay. So we just lost half our listening base, probably.
As much as I've tried to get Dak to watch Harry Potter, he has yet to do it.
Yeah.
Your family has watched Harry Potter.
My family loves it. They were totally engulfed in the story. We brought our niece with us. She was the 11-year-old. She was in heaven in Harry Potter world.
We got to get you to watch the movies.
I got to watch
the movies.
They're
so good.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'll do over Christmas break. Yeah. Just like power through.
Just one a night.
Yeah. You know, they had all the other things, Simpsons Land or World. I'm not sure what all of these lands are called.
Did you do the Simpson ride?
No.
Okay.
So the last time I did the Simpsons ride in Orlando, it was like...
It's a hot mess.
Yes.
It was a bar fest. The one time I did it, it wasn't air conditioned. It seemed like it wasn't air conditioned. And I got so sick because it's that 4D simulator.
Yeah.
It was a horrible experience. Yeah.
It was rough. But Transformers, The Mummy, they had all those rides there. Okay. A lot of the similar rides that you get in Orlando. There's a Minions Land or World. That was a lot of fun. Because I don't know how much they have of that there in Orlando. I know they have some, but they really went all out in Hollywood. But our favorite experience across the board, everyone, was, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Universal Hollywood, you are actually on Universal Studios production lot. And so we did a backlot tour.
Oh, very cool.
Of Universal Studios. And you get on this bus and you go, you drive around and they show you different movie scenes and different sets and sound sets and all kinds of stuff. It was phenomenal. I wish they had something like that in Orlando. I wish you could do that at Disney Studios, but it's very private.
Yeah.
You have to have special tickets to get onto Disney's actual studio set or a studio lots. But it was just phenomenal. Everybody that got off the ride loved it.
Okay.
People all around us.
What is it? The Jason Bourne experience?
So they did not have the Jason Bourne experience there, but they did have a Waterworld experience there, which is probably pretty similar, where it's that live action stunt show type of environment. We did not actually end up going to Waterworld. We got to about 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We had rode everything that we wanted to do multiple times if we wanted to, and we were just kind of... Because we were there for early entry, we came all the way across LA up to Hollywood.
Oh, wow.
And so we were basically up at 5:30 to get there. And then by 2 o'clock, everybody was like, all right, I'm done. Like, we had gotten our fill.
Really?
Yeah. I thought we were going to power through and
6 hours, you guys were done.
And we did everything we wanted to do and then some.
That's insane. Well, I guess when you have little crowds, you can... It made it a little easier.
Yeah. To do that. Yeah, we were just, I'm telling you, it was just, even some of the, I don't know what they call them, staff, not cast members.
Staff.
Yeah. They were like shocked at how slow it was that particular day.
So that would have been the Sunday after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Maybe that was a travel day for a lot of
people. Maybe. But it got me thinking, so I wanted to ask you this question. As I'm sitting there, I'm like going through this, and I'm like, this is pretty entertaining. This is pretty fun. Like, we were having a very enjoyable time. And so I wanted to ask you the question. It got me thinking while we were out there, what kind of impact do you think Epic Universe and everything that it's going to bring to Orlando is going to have on Disney World and the Disney, you know... Right now, Disney's big brother out there in Orlando, I think. But do you think the tides are turning and Universal is going to overthrow Disney World as the premier place to visit in Orlando when people go to visit?
That's a question that we have been discussing
offline.
Off air for a long time.
Yeah.
Because Epic Universe has been, it was announced a couple years ago. They have built it fairly quickly compared to how slow Disney builds things. Although I think Disney, with the recent announcements of some of their park enhancements, it sounds like they're going to pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it took 5 years to build Tron.
So I've heard some conspiracy theories on that. I don't know how much I believe them, but basically what I've heard is the delays are to help with the budget. So what I mean by that is if I have a crew and I only have to pay that crew X amount of dollars because they're only going to do X amount of work, then it only hits my line item budget for that amount. But if I power through and I get every crew out there from... You know, the concrete guys to the, you know, erector set guys that are building the actual tracks to the electronic guys that are bringing in all the digital stuff. You know, you're just pumping money into this. Now, again, who knows how true that is, but they basically hold off on getting the permits for the next phase of work to keep their numbers and their costs low. Like, imagine if you were building a house and you said, okay, we're just going to hold off on having the electricians come out till next month because we don't want to pay for them this month.
Well, kind if that's that true, theory. That's garbage.
I think so,
that's, too. That, I mean, that's, that, honestly.
I'm not sure how much I believe that.
Yeah, and, well, conspiracy theory, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah.
We've really shied away from conspiracy theories, but, with Disney, they're a big company. You know, like I was saying, it seems like these projects that are coming up, you know, in Animal Kingdom and Magic Kingdom, Hollywood Studios with Monsters Inc. Land, it looks like they're going to be getting those going fairly soon and completing them within the next 2 to 5 years. So here's my thought on your original question with Epic Universe. So I think from an outsider's point of view, it may appear and it may look like Epic Universe is going to make a dent into Disney's market share in that area. And I think, you know, I think we could do an entire episode on on this particular topic, but I think we're not that smart. I don't want to say we're not that smart, but I think there's a lot of details that go into that. But I will say this: I think, you know, Disney recently released their full year or their fiscal year earnings, their Q4 earnings, and there was a lot of information that came out of that. That really kind of shed some light on what Disney thinks about Universal. Mm-hmm. And one thing that, so their CFO, what's his name? Hugh Johnston, I believe. I think it's Hugh Johnston.
Yeah.
He was asked this question. What is,
really?
Yeah, what is, you know, what do you guys think about Universal's Epic Universe and is it going to make an impact? So that was part of the, this is how dorky I am. I listened to the investors call, which I don't even own a Disney stock, but I'm like, I want to hear, because this is where they really kind of get into some of those
nitty gritty details.
Right. Yeah. And then one of the investors did ask that question. Hey, Mr. Johnson, what do you think of Epic Universe? Is it going to make an impact to Disney? And his response was, and I think his response was very, it was very short. Like, oh yeah, you know, we recognize that, you know, they're expanding their parks, but what we have seen in the past is that when a park opens up around one of our properties, we actually see an increase in capacity. We see an increase in attendance with our park because they're already coming to the area.
Right.
Disney, listen, I think some people want to see Disney fall.
Sure.
They want to see Disney fail. You know, and we don't get into that. We don't get into the politics of all of that. We're here because we're happy. We love Disney for what it is, for all of their mistakes and failures and for what the joy they bring to all of us. We just love Disney. So I think, you can get into the kind of the nitty gritty of that. But, you know, what he was saying, it was like, no, yeah, we're going to see, you know, they're going to open up this park next year. I think May 22nd, I think. We're going to see an influx of people because they're going to be coming to the Central Florida area to visit this new park. And we still have the market share. Like, we're still the big brother on campus.
Yeah.
They released their earnings, Dak. They're doing just fine.
Yeah.
Like, attendance was a little flat, especially overseas. Actually, they lost attendance with some of the Asian resorts. Domestically, they were up about 1%. Spending was up, though, domestically. They made a ton of money. Finally, the movie side of the business made a ton of money last year. We've talked about the parks carrying the entire Disney Corporation for years. They're starting to see a dent that, you know, Disney Plus actually made money.
Yeah.
They're putting a dent into that initial investment. Inside Out 2, Wolverine and Deadpool, both billion-dollar movies. Like, Disney's doing just fine. So when Epic Universe opens up, they're going to say, hey, we're here too. And they're going to get all of those same people that are going to Epic Universe.
That's what I think. There's a saying out there that a rising tide lifts all boats, right? And so, ooh, you like that?
Philosophy. Welcome to the podcast.
Yeah. I think that that's true. I think that you are going to see that initial bump of attendance. Absolutely. Everybody's going to want to go see and experience Epic Universe. There's no question about it. Some of the things that they've released are very exciting, but I think you'll see that same lift when Disney starts, like you alluded to, when Disney starts dropping some of their D23 announcements and those things start coming online, you'll see a bump in Disney's attendance, right? So I just think there's always going to be this back and forth between Disney and Universal. It's inevitable. They're the two big kids on the block, and they want to outdo each other. And the great thing about that is that we come out the winners, right? So,
oh yeah, for sure.
We get to experience all that and be the winners.
So I have a conspiracy theory for you.
Here we go.
Since we opened up that Pandora's box already, I was thinking the other day, I'm like, you know, what if the Disney executives, what if this was a calculated move on their part to not announce these projects until Epic Universe got close to opening? Because of what they said in their earnings call that, hey, we know we're going to get attendance from Epic Universe. So why do we need to start investing all of the, all, because they announced a couple of years ago they're going to invest $60 billion into the parks. And that was another thing that came out of the investors call, is that we're starting to see a lot of that investment. But what if they said, hey, let's let Epic Universe spend the money right now, and we're going to get the benefit of that for about a year, maybe a year and a half. And then we open up our new projects. So we don't lose any of that possible attendance by opening up a new land or a new attraction during the same time that Epic Universe is opening up. Now, I could be way off on that. That could be a dumb conspiracy. But I don't know. I mean, you brought it up, conspiracy. So, I mean, listen, Disney, if you've ever been to Disney, you know that they really try to get into the mind of the consumer. They send you surveys. They try to talk to you at the park. There's cast members walking around with little iPads. Hey, do you have 5 minutes to take a survey?
Yeah.
Every time you get back from a trip, you'll probably get an email. Hey, Mr. Dak, Mr. Ryan, how was your trip? Do you have 10 minutes for a survey? You know? And every now and then I get a survey in my email, you know,
just because
like I'm on their mailing list or whatnot. Yeah. So, you know, they're always trying to figure out what do our consumers want?
Well, I'll be curious, and this will kind of bring us back to my trip discussion and what we experienced there. I will be curious to see to what level Epic Universe is as far as quality and entertainment and immersiveness and the story and everything that Disney does so well. And the reason why I'm saying that right now is because as wonderful as it was, the low crowds, the different experience of going to Universal Studios Hollywood, there was still, it still felt like the B team. And what I mean by that is like the food quality was just a little bit less than what you experience at Disney, well, than what we experienced at Disneyland the very next day, right? So we had a day-to-day comparison. We started at Universal, then the very next day. So on Monday, we go to Disneyland, get to experience all the food options there and everything that they have to offer. You get to experience the rides and the immersion of the story and the and everything we had felt or experienced before, right? We've been to Disneyland a couple of different times now, but it still felt more better. I don't know how else to say it. It just felt a little bit better than, or the experience was a little bit better than what the Universal experience was.
And
the technology, everything. Like it just felt, I don't know, it just seemed
that,
more.
And that goes back, it's a cultural thing. It's been that way since Walt started Disneyland. And what did he tell his wife? Oh, Walt, who's going to want to come? Nobody's going to want to come to your parks. I mean, because, you know, when he came up with the idea of Disneyland, you know, all that was around were those traveling fairs.
Yeah.
That were dirty and scummy and, you know, people. And that's what his wife was concerned about. Walt, aren't you concerned about your park becoming one of those? And what did he say? No, my park's going to be the cleanest. It's going to be the nicest. It's going to be the friendliest. That's been the culture ever since. And if you've gone to Six Flags, if you've gone to SeaWorld, if you've gone to Universal, there is something just missing. Disney has the IP too. They've got the intellectual property.
Sure.
They've got the movies and the characters from 70, 80, 90 years ago that play a huge role in creating that atmosphere. Not to take away what Universal's done, because I think Universal, they have Harry Potter, which again, that's a huge IP.
Yeah.
But could you name 5 IP at Universal off the top of your head?
I mean, not long-term ones, but they're all recent ones. So you have like the Minions, you have Harry Potter.
Okay, you have 3 more.
Jurassic Park was big there.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else.
I mean,
The Simpsons, but now The Simpsons are owned by Disney, so I think there's just some licensing.
Yeah, that's just a licensing issue, yeah.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, and I think that that's the argument that someone would make against me, which I'm open to you know, listening to and having that discussion, is like, well, yeah, of course, there's a nostalgic factor that Disney has that Universal just can't replace, right? But it just overall, everything you just mentioned before, the culture, the cleanliness, the food quality, the, you know, the experience itself of actually feeling the magic, right? I just think that Disney brought that. It was just a tier or two higher than the Universal experience was the day before. Now, what I haven't gotten into yet is that Disneyland was incredibly busy. I was very encouraged on Sunday, experiencing what we experienced at Universal, only to have my world shattered when we got to Disneyland on Monday, because it was much busier than what I expected. And I will also say that, and this will bring up another maybe question to throw out at you, is like, this is now the second or third trip in a row where I felt some serious spending fatigue when it came to Disney. So my wife and I were kind of just looking at each other one of the hours during our trip or days during our trip, and we're just like, I'm tired of spending money right now. Like, I'm going nuts.
Well, Dak, if you just stop buying churros and Mickey ice cream bars.
That's what it was. So there was six of us, right? So our family of five plus our niece, so that made six. We did that on purpose so that we could have riders with everybody.
For sure, yeah.
By the time we stayed on site, so that obviously has a cost. Now, we could have chosen to stay at a VRBO and dealt with all that, but I'm just saying for the argument of how much Disney costs. Stayed on site. I'm not going to tell you the number of a per night cost, but it was significant, right?
Because you stayed at the Disneyland Hotel.
Stayed at the Disneyland Hotel.
Look it up. It's not cheap.
It is not cheap. You know, when you stay on site, you're almost forced to eat at the parks or in the surrounding area. I mean, we were easily spending, I will share this number, we were easily spending anywhere between $300 and $500 a day on food, which when you say it sounds outrageous. To me, even just saying it right now, I can't believe those words just came out of my mouth. But it's true, right? By the time you get breakfast for six individuals, breakfasts were averaging $15 to $20 per person, mm-hmm. right? You get a few snacks throughout the day. Everybody wants their own snack. We try to say, no, we're going to get two snacks and everybody's going to get a little taste. Well,
It never works.
Yeah. It never works. Then you have lunch. It's another $20 a person. You have dinner, more snacks. So it just ended up adding up so significantly that after our 2 days at Disney, we were completely fatigued financially, right? Like, we didn't want to spend money on anything. Our poor girls on the way home were like, can we get some snacks for the plane? And we were like, no.
They have peanuts.
Yeah. It was just overwhelming. And so that's my question is, and I'll share one more example just to kind of deepen my point, is we had a buddy of ours texting us, and he's thinking about taking his family. It's him, his wife, two children. I think they're all under the age of 4 or 5, right? And he was like, is this right? One day at Disney World for my son is $250. And you and I both were like, no way. Like, no, that's not impossible. Yeah. That's impossible. But then we started to look up the ticket costs. And sure enough, right, like the tier pricing that they have set up at Disney World ended up being like 100. It was for one day, though. So yeah, it helps to add more days.
It was a one day with the park hopper.
One day with the park hopper was $250 for his, 5-year-old son to go the week of spring break, which, again, there's some factors there as far as you're going one of the busiest times. Disney World does the tier pricing, so you're going to pay extra for some of those things.
Their tiered pricing is not that tiered.
No.
I'll let you finish your thought, then I'll get into...
My final point is Disney World getting to the point where it's pricing out people from being able to go.
Okay. So
sorry.
So here's my deal. So going back to, will Epic Universe affect Disney? So I'll share this. So we've been kicking around the idea of getting our Universal passes back. Just cough, Dak. Dak's got a cough.
Sorry.
We don't have a cough button on this. So we've been thinking about getting our Universal passes back. And when you start doing the math, so for our family of five to get, it's pretty much, it's not Universal's basic pass. It's like their second or third tier, which gives you the free parking. It was about $2,200 to $2,300 a year for my family of five.
For all of you?
For all of us.
Okay.
And what's great about Universal is they let you pay as you go. You put a down payment down, and then you pay a monthly sure. fee, right? Which, again, it helps maybe psychologically.
Yeah.
You know, you're not throwing down $2,400 all at once. You're putting down maybe $1,200, and then you're paying $100 a month going forward. So then we started kicking, okay, but kids, what do you want for Christmas? We want to go to Disney, you know. Well, what about, you know, okay, well, yeah, Universal too. I mean, maybe Universal annual passes, or let's look at what Disney is going to cost. You know, right. So obviously annual passes at Disney for our family of five is about $6,500.
Yeah.
No payment plan. It's straight $1,500 per person yeah. for the year. So that's out of the question. Well, all right, so how about a week at Disney? Spring break. For our family of five, spring break, no lodging on site, no airfare, nothing, just the tickets, is about $2,400.
Wow.
So for the same price as an entire year at Universal, we can go 4 days at Disney.
Yeah.
So you start looking at that, you start looking at those numbers and kind of factoring in, hey, 3 to 4 trips to Universal over the next year, or 4 to 5 days over spring break, not park hopping. You kind of start to see, okay, this is where Universal really does have
the upper hand.
The upper hand.
Yeah.
So I agree. And I think going forward, I think this is where Disney may lose some customers if they're trying to decide between, you know, a Universal trip or a Disney trip or Universal annual passes. And I've seen the blog posts, a lot of posting on social media. Yeah, I mean, with Epic Universe opening up, I'm going to drop my Disney World annual pass and I'm going to get the Universal annual pass because it's half as expensive.
Yeah. And it's tough because, again, you have this deep, well, I'll just speak for myself. I have this deep-rooted love of going to Disney and enjoying the parks. But it's really gotten, again, this last trip really hit home again. It's like, wow, I don't know how many more times we can afford to go as an entire family to Disney. And so it may just have to be, well, one-off trips with, you know, yeah. one of my daughters, two of my daughters, my wife, and some daughters. So anyways, I just...
And don't forget your guys' trip.
And guys' trips, yeah. right.
Those
yeah.
are very important.
That's right. So I don't know. It just felt overwhelming. And you know, don't ask me this question in June because I'll probably be like,
yeah, cause I feel like
hungry, dying to go.
I feel like you have these thoughts every time you get back from Disney. Is that, man, that was freaking expensive.
Yes.
I'm not going to go back for a long time. Then it's like, hey, I'm thinking about going to Disney.
Right. Yeah. It's like, it's a drug, right? I mean, it's like, you got to have it, but you understand that there's a cost that comes with it. And, you know, I don't want to throw... I'm just coming up with all kinds of little sayings. I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater here, right? And what I mean by that is Disney is, in my opinion, a higher quality product, right? And I'm willing to pay in other areas of my life for nicer things if I feel like those things warrant the cost, right? Mm-hmm. I think everybody feels that way to some certain extent, yeah. right? Like you're willing to pay a little bit more for a higher quality item, whatever it is, food, vehicle, whatever, mm-hmm. right? And so I think Disney is definitely in that bucket for me.
and it checks a lot of my emotional and fun and magic and all those boxes. But man, it's getting tough. It's getting tougher and tougher to justify, especially when you start looking at, well, we could go to an all-inclusive, you know, Cancun trip or island trip. And again, to your point, 1 week at Disney or half that much for a week in an all-inclusive, you know, resort somewhere. So anyways, I know a few episodes ago, well, several episodes ago, we did a five lies you don't want to know about or that aren't true about Disney.
Yeah, five lies you should not believe about Disney.
Yeah, yeah. And one of them was that it's
too expensive.
It's too expensive. So we don't want to go against that, but it's teetering, right? Yeah. And again, I think everybody does this, right? They go and you're there and you're like, yeah, let's get it. Yeah, you know, and yeah. You just get into that mode.
And I think when we did that episode, the lie is that it is too expensive. It is expensive, but you can make it cheap.
Sure.
But like you said, by staying off site, by bringing in your own snacks, and you don't have to eat at the park.
Right.
Obviously, you can't do anything about the ticket price or how you get there. That's going to be a fixed cost.
Yeah.
But everything once you're there, the food, the lodging, you can make it cheap. But...
And you can use some discretion, right? Yeah. Like, we were going hog wild. Like, yeah. clearly, because we're spending that much on food a day, yeah. Which is absurd, right? A weekly grocery bill in a day, right? And so, you know, you just have to have a little bit of self-discipline. Like you said, maybe bring in or Amazon in some snacks or stuff like that. So there's a way to get around it, but... Boy, it just felt like a big gut punch a couple of times on that trip.
Well, hey, we got a few minutes.
Okay.
Give us the highlights of Disneyland.
Highlights of Disneyland was just, again...
Dude, you were sending me text messages and pictures, and I was like, I wanted to...
So we were there, obviously, during the Christmas season. Some of our highlights at Disneyland were... You know, the lighting of Small World, that is just absolutely magical. I would 1,000%, you know, suggest experiencing that. Haunted Mansion was still with the overlay of Jack Skellington and all of that. That was wonderful and fun.
And they've got the new queue that's open.
They got the new queue that's open. It's a lot, really awesome.
Yeah, you sent me a picture of your Monte Cristo sandwich.
Yeah, the Monte Cristo is still... Just as
My
good
mouth
as ever.
Is watering right now.
So it was just a lot of fun. And again, I can't tell you how much of the magic and the experience and everything that you get at Disney that just doesn't seem to be, I can't replicate it anywhere else. And so that's, at the end of the day, we're talking about costs. At the end of the day, that's how I justify the cost is that, just it's so fun, like it's just
yeah. There's
so magical.
There's, you're right, dude. There's no way that you go to Universal and walk out with your family feeling the same way that yeah. you do after you had just seen, you know, Happily Ever After fireworks.
Right,
walking out with your family and everybody's got that Disney tired look on them, but they're like, oh, this was the best show.
Yeah,
this was a perfect day. Like Universal, it's a theme park, you know, and they do it really well. Universal above everybody else except Disney, they do it really well. They've got great attractions. They've got great shows. It's a clean park. I think the food is even a little pricier than Disney.
Oh, it is.
And it's yeah. I don't think it's as good.
No,
actually a little disappointed with the three broomsticks. So,
well, I'll give you my perfect example. Is I have a coworker. She's texting me tonight. And she's texting me because her daughter is doing a solo trip at Disney World right now. And she's sending me pictures of like Tron and the castle all lit up and Happily yeah. Ever After going on. And I'm thinking, man, I wish I was there. So that's it, right? It's like, to your point, here I am complaining about it and the cost and this and that, da da da. But the minute I get a text from someone that's there, I'm like, wait, oh man, I wish I was there. Like, I don't feel that way about anything else, right?
No, there's nothing else that
makes me be like, man, it's so this or that. And well, yeah, I'll go back.
And what does Randy always say? You got to manage expectations.
Yeah.
So if you go in knowing that you're going to throw down $6,000 for your Disney trip, then that's what you're just going to do.
Yeah.
And just expect it. It's going to happen. And if it rains every day, well, that's part of the managing
expectations.
And
you go to the rainy day parade.
Yep. You just get wet. So
that's right.
You know, I'm jealous that you went to that.
Isn't that funny? Like, no matter how many times you go, whenever you hear about someone else going, there's a little tinge of jealousy. Like, man, I wish I was there right
now. You know,
now.
And to all the people out there that have not gone to Disneyland, like, I was one of the skeptics. You know, obviously, you walk down Main Street and you see the castle and you're like, where's the rest of it? But, the magic is every bit the same that you find at Disney World. Even at sometimes, it's probably a little bit more because this is where Walt walked.
Yeah.
Like, this was Walt's park. So, I'm full on hooked on Disneyland.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
And the weather, until you've been to Disneyland and feel like comparing it to Disney World, like you have to go to Disney World like in February for 3 weeks or November and December to get that same weather that you can get in California, 365.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It's great.
Yeah. Well, man. This was fun.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for taking me back down the trip lane there. It was a great trip. I loved it. And
can't
wait to go again.
So our next trip will probably be our guys' trip.
Yeah.
You know, we've done two already this year. I'm not sure when we're going to go back.
No, yeah. My wife has already given me the warning of you better take me somewhere before you go with your buddies
I'm
again.
I'm kind of in that same boat. Like two trips to Disney in a year. It'll probably be, I don't want to say,
I turn 50 late next year. Let's do that.
Did you just say that on air, dude?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You're old.
Yeah. I'm so old. Yeah. We'll do that.
Well, hey guys, appreciate you being with us today. Hey, if you social media, go on, find us on Facebook, find us on TikTok. TikTok may not be around in a few months, but yeah, we try to post things on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok every now and then. Give us a follow, like some of our posts. You know, we try to put some funny things out there.
Yeah, for sure.
But again, more importantly, share this with your friends, share with your families. Give us a rating. It helps the podcast grow. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Till next time.